The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, you know, AI is everywhere and we debate endlessly whether it's a good or a bad thing for our work lives, our home lives, and now even our romantic lives. In a modern take on the tale of Cyrano de Bergerac, some are getting AI to craft the kind of text, the kind of affectionate badinage that might in reality be quite beyond them. Is that a useful tool or is it a deceit? Well, I'm joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
So, Cyrano de Bergerac it is.
Yeah, indeed.
Seducing Roxanne using AI.
It's kind of extraordinary stuff, isn't it? And for those of us who are newish to AI, and I think we're all kind of new to it in a way, but everybody is having a little, how would I say, they're tinkering with AI for, you know, tidying up the text, for writing out the emails, maybe, you know, shifting the tone a bit, ordering it a bit. And it does make you more efficient. There is no two ways about it. It's very helpful. And I think we're heading that way. So I found myself looking then, I heard one or two stories from people and it made me think of this. And it made me think of, first of all, a woman told me a story about how she was dealing with a very difficult parent in her school life, as she's a teacher, a principal teacher. And instead of sort of going through all the difficulty of trying to write back a very formulaic, fixed, you know, something that isn't sort of reactive, instead she popped it into AI. And out came the response that she wanted without all the emotional labour. So it did it for her. Now, of course, she checked it again, but it did it for her. And it made me think, because I used to train people a lot in my 20s. And we used to be always training people to try and not get involved in the argument with the customer, try not to get emotionally upset by the customer, you know. And I thought, here we are. This is something that is filtering that. This is kind of taking out that layer. It's like a little emotional shield for people.
Okay, so if you get a nasty missive from your boss in work,
yes,
and you want to reply and you want to really give him or her what for, but you shouldn't really because it's
and
your
you know
boss.
You shouldn't.
So you filter this through AI and you get...
Filter it through AI and you say quite simply, could you take any show of anger out of this? And you see, it's that, you know, it's that large language model. It's all based on, I mean, it's a fantastic, obviously, software system or system that allows it to sort of constantly check for similarity, for tone, but it's all done on the basis of language.
Now, I used AI just as an experiment one time. I was introducing at the Dorky Book Festival, Colm Tobin, and I had introduced someone else and it was so inadequate, I decided, well, maybe it'll be adequate for Colm. So I put it in, how should I introduce this man? And it spat out an answer. I read it and I said, it's not half bad, but I'm not going to say that because I have other things. I know Colm of old, bring my own thoughts to bear on this.
Correct.
But I showed it to Colm before we did the interview.
For interest, yes.
And he said, that's about the third time I've heard that intro this month. Because all interviewers were using AI to craft an intro to himself.
Exactly.
So the same way, when the boss gets this reply, the boss might say,
"Yes,
that's an AI reply."
Yes, he may. And he also has the possibility then of pasting it back in and saying, is this AI created or AI affected? So you can filter backwards. Do you know what I mean? So you can filter for let's say, the aggression to be taken out. But equally, that person can look again and say, is this AI created or
so
assisted?
The boss can text back or fire back an email saying, what do you really think?
Yeah. But there's good in that. That's really my point. There is good in that it can filter a little bit. It can protect people a little bit. It can keep some of the aggression at bay. And that's kind of okay, I think, in the workplace, because you're not trying really to make big emotional connections. But when you go a little further.
So let's talk about online dating, where the initial contacts after swiping left or right, the initial contacts are about, you know, texting and messaging.
100%.
And trying to sell yourself.
Yeah, trying to sell yourself, trying to make, you know, make a connection, trying to reveal your personality a little bit, trying to. So the problem here is that what is happening. And it's not happening all the time, but I think it's going to happen increasingly because what people are doing is they're trying to make their text more interesting. They're also, you know, popping them into ChatGPT because they are looking to do it more quickly. People will say to me all the time, I'm exhausted spending hours trying to connect online. So this speeds up that process. takes out some of the, you know, burnout we've talked about. And so on a plus side, it makes them more efficient, maybe takes less out of them to do it. But on the bad side, you're creating, you can, it has the capacity to create a kind of persona that isn't really there.
Now, there is a phenomenon which has been dubbed chatfishing as distinct from catfishing. What is that?
Chatfishing, I love it. So we know catfishing, where it is, connecting online and being the person, you know, pretending to be somebody you aren't and not being available. And chatfishing really is a newer term that combines both, if you like, the catfishing term and the chat. And it really is this kind of emotional, you know, manipulation but it is done via the text and via, you know, with the assistance of AI, where you really are portraying a version of yourself and a kind of a connection and an interest in this other person that isn't really based on anything except AI. It's not that it is you. It's not
reflecting
you.
So you're crafting a personality to appeal to the other person.
Yes.
And that if you detect that someone is very sensitive, for example, you say, well, they need a sensitive soul to reply.
Absolutely.
So let me become a sensitive soul.
Absolutely. And if you took this from the very beginning and said, hey, I really like this person and they've just said hello. I look at their profile and they show they're into sport, they're into hiking, whatever. Give me a snappy chat up line. They'll give it to you.
Something or I want to be witty.
Witty. I want to be witty. I want to be funny. I want to be serious. It's all there. And so you have to be a little bit wise to it. I think that's really what I'm saying. People have to be wise to it because this is going to happen more and more because AI is efficient and it's taking some of the emotional labour out of all tasks.
There was an article in The Guardian entitled, I realised that I'd been chat-GPT'd into bed.
I loved that. Yes, I'd been chat-GPT'd into bed and how chatfishing is making online dating even weirder. I mean, it's fantastic. And it's a fantastic article for anybody who wants to read up a little further on this. She tells how she fell for this guy. She didn't explain the guy she went to bed with, but she did explain that she had been chat-GPT'd to go out on a date with this guy. And she had really thought he was so interesting. There were all these fantastic open questions at the beginning, followed by very meaningful, kind of deep, you know, women love all that, deep kind of conversations. And she'd had all that late into the night and how she was sort of falling before she fell. She goes out and she meets this guy and he's flat and doesn't seem to be in any way the digital kind of personality that she had imagined. And there is this complete gap and he's withering under the questions and he's not there.
Yeah. And by the same token, there are people who are having relationships with bots. They find the bot much more understanding of them than a human being.
Yes.
Which is worrying too.
Well, of course. And that's, you know, we talked a lot about the mental health bots and all of that. There, you see, these are the dangers of AI when it goes too far, when it brings you too far and when you are too invested in it. You have to recognize it is a reflection kind of model. Mm. It's reflecting what you want.
If you recognize your own weaknesses
yes.
and they have lost you the opportunity maybe to date.
Yes.
Can you use it positively to kind of slow yourself down if you're a bit
really
too over
good.
The top?
Yes, that's a point I really skipped over there and that is really where the plus is. For example, a fellow in this article was saying, you know, this girl went through and asked people, why would you use it? And he said, well, I'm neurodiverse. And he said, I'm always told I'm a bit bland and I'm a bit blunt and I'm not this and not that and not as emotional. So he kind of, it helps him. Now, he said he'd got him past the post, but he said, I wouldn't use it more than 10%. And I think this is what's happening. People in that article also said, well, when I realised I'd used it to the tune of about 80% of the communication. So really, it wasn't me anymore.
So useful, helpful, perhaps, but beware.
But beware that it's not deceitful.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.